Now, back to the Midday Grind with Martin and Marlo on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
First kiss tastes like cigarettes, dead men walking, take your best. Once again, you lost your friends, around and around again. Those cool kids stuck in the past, palm mints and cigarette ash. Where are we going? Where'd you ask?
Just back from an Alaska trip.
It's been a couple weeks, fellas. How are you?
Great to see you. I talked with you last week.
Is this Hockey Sense brought to you by MTC Truck Driver Training?
You want to be a truck driver?
Could be. Hey, you don't like your job, you should quit. Be a trucker.
Are we at the Slider House? No.
Well, we might as well be. We're at the Scott Trade Center. Great to have you guys here, by the way. Thanks for coming by, huh?
Thanks for having us.
Apparently, no problem. No
apparently
problem.
We're in the Strickland Suite at the Scott Trade Center.
Suite 259.
Love it up here. Love Suite 259. Big fan of Suite. I didn't know Walt was up here. We're going to have him come by.
Where is he?
He apparently was in the booth with
Text
Army.
Text him.
Yeah, what day is it? Tuesday?
Come on by, Walt. Let's find out why Matthew Tkachuk, you know, he didn't play in either preseason game last night for Calgary.
And Stricky, how about the scoreboard and how about those locker room digs?
Yeah, it looks phenomenal. You know, it reminded me when the new Bush opened and everyone walked into the locker room. Clubhouse, sorry.
And God, people get so mad about that.
I know. Can you
even
believe
today,
it?
Even today, what was it, the room? Not
well,
the locker
hockey's
room?
Dressing room.
No, it's dressing room.
Oh, God.
The room. But I remember everyone was going crazy, like, wow, it's so nice. And everything. And it was, you know, still is probably to this day. But it really is. It is second to none. I mean, it is that nice. They did a phenomenal job on it. I will say that.
And they got it done quick. Phillips Arena, Atlanta, they're shutting it down for 5 months.
Phillips Arena, who plays there? The Hawks?
The Hawks and other stuff.
Sure.
Love the Hawks.
Probably got an arena football
WNBA
team.
WNBA team, probably.
Yeah, who's that? The
Atlanta
Fire?
Dream,
maybe? The Fire?
Maybe the Atlanta Dream.
I think there may be three teams in the WNBA named the Fire. Look that up.
No, there's a bunch of links.
I never know which
Sparks,
one is which.
Maybe?
I watched a little bit of the game on Sunday, actually.
What game?
I forgot who was playing, but there was an incredible turnaround from the
Atlanta Dream, yes.
Oh, I was just going to look at that.
I've bet on them a few
this
times,
point
just
guard,
so you know.
That's
you,
scary.
If you can tell me who was on ESPN, middle of the afternoon, there was football going on. I don't know how I accidentally, like, turned to the wrong channel. And there was a team in gray. And the point guard was hitting these. Yeah, they were wearing gray. I don't know if it was home or away. It could have been either
probably
one.
Road
she
race.
Probably went to UConn.
No, she did not. But she hit one
Brittany
of the
Griner.
More unbelievable turnaround spin jump shots from kind of between the free throw line and the three-point arc. Phenomenal skill level. Those girls are getting really, really good.
All right, if I'm going to play the role of Strickland, all right, who cares? Strix, no offense.
Take that back.
Take it
this
back.
This is women's sports, man.
Yeah. I am all for women's sports.
Come
I think
on
they do a great
diversity.
Job in every capacity.
Diversity.
But I don't care about some game that you flipped on where somebody wore a gray jersey.
Well, I wish
though,
I knew her name. Yeah, go ahead.
Stricky, you brought it up. Yeah. I don't even know if this is still the case.
Mm-hmm.
But for years, yeah. I always thought it was really funny on NFL Sundays.
Yeah.
You'd have the Fox show.
Uh-huh.
You'd have the CBS show. Mm-hmm. You'd have the ESPN show with Berman for all those years.
Right.
But then, of course, Fox and CBS, right after the show, they have games. And I always thought it was hilarious that ESPN, the huge sports network,
right.
Remember what they'd go to? They would always go to bowling.
Mm-hmm.
So right after they're hyping the NFL, when the games start, they go to bowling.
Yeah.
I don't know if they still do that, but I remember.
Well, they don't have rights to the
war.
Games on Sunday afternoon, but, you
know,
that's a big deal for those bowlers to be on ESPN on Sunday. They get great ratings on Sunday.
One day they'll pass the NFL.
Pete
NFL,
Weber?
The NFL is in decline, just like ESPN. They were both. They were the bullies.
I don't subscribe to that.
I do. It's happening. It's going to take a while. It's going to take a while.
I mean, their ratings were so high for so long, so maybe
good.
They're not as high, but they're still very, very strong.
That's the same thing with American Idol. Oh, the ratings are terrible. Well, they're not as good as they were still good ratings.
Yeah.
I agree. ESPN still makes a ton of money. The NFL still has very good TV ratings. Being compared to their recent past is not fair. But I think both are in slow decline.
I think they're the fundamentals of the game right now just haven't been very good. The football hasn't been strong. Terrible tackling. The quarterback play has been.
Mizzou or NFL?
Well, Mizzou, too. That's some of the worst coaching I've ever seen.
Whoa.
I mean, the coaching on Mizzou is absolutely horrendous.
Well, they fired the coach.
Who, the offensive coordinator?
Defensive coordinator.
Defensive coordinator. Got rid of him. Who, Cross?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Making $600,000 this year, next
I know.
Year.
How can I become a defense?
Doing
I want to be a defensive coordinator that's
that
horrendous. That has no idea what I'm doing. and get paid $600,000.
Think about this. If you're a defensive coordinator.
Maybe it wasn't his fault.
In the Big 12, every team scores 45 anyway. Like, the worst defensive coordinator is going to give up, what, 60? But the best is going to give up 45 points if you're playing Big 12 football.
I got to run something by you real quick. I was driving down the highway. Somebody threw a 32-ounce cup out the window. I didn't know people still do this. We're still littering in 2017. Is that happening?
It pisses me off.
I chased her down.
Did you? Because I think about making citizens arrest with things,
can you
like,
do that?
Things like littering. Nowadays, people are just
is that
walking
a real
guns.
Thing?
I
don't
anything's
know.
Anything's possible.
I know. So I kind of like backed off. I'm like, you just never know. You know, I mean, she's capable of throwing the 32-ounce cup out the window. You never know what she could throw out next.
Seems to have a no-care attitude. So.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
Let's test this, though. Mm-hmm. Let's say you're in your car on the highway. Let's say you eat an apple or a banana.
That's okay.
Okay.
Because you know why? It's good for the soil.
Biodegradable.
Or it'll be a banana tree in 10 years, kids. Don't worry about it. Dad's seen this happen.
If you're down the highway and you have a banana peel or an apple or a peach, could be any fruit, really, throw that in. It's very good for the soil. Now, if we're talking about a bag of fast food, I mean, or a cup, a 32-ouncer, may have been a 64-ouncer. Couldn't get that
think
close to
this,
it.
Think about this, though. What if you have a half-eaten burger?
Yeah, don't
you
do that.
Throw that bag out the window,
and
but maybe
tree.
A homeless person could then have a meal.
Yeah, I think that's terrible that you'd even think of that. That is awful. You don't throw burgers out the window either.
This is like Dr. Rugger. You really should throw carrots out the window, okay? Because the homeless need to be eating healthy. Maybe a kale shake.
Ask
if
me a question. Ask me a question.
Real quick, though. Real quick. It'll be short.
Uh-huh.
This was karma. Because when we were in high school, we were just stupid kids. We had nothing to do. Somebody gets their license. We go around. We'd paintball, you know, stop signs. We take eggs, we throw them at people on the street. It was so bad. No, I'm telling you. But this was karma because I remember I was walking down the street at Bradley once at night. I think I had to go back to my house and get something. And I remember just walking. I didn't do anything wrong. I was on the sidewalk, and somebody threw like a half-eaten Wendy's burger on me.
And it hit
and
you.
I mean, it hit me, straight on my shirt. I mean, I had every sauce.
I know.
And I just kind of sat there. And they were like, they were high school kids. They were like, and I'm like, mother. And then I thought, I probably did something similar 5 years prior, and that's karma coming back to me.
Have you ever seen the movie The Weatherman?
I have.
Nicolas Cage.
With the Slurpees.
Nicolas Cage is the weatherman in Chicago. And he's always live on the road, like, hey, everybody, I'm bringing you your weather. And these people come by, and they throw, like, milkshakes at him. While he's on, he just gets splattered. And it's the most humiliating feeling.
Let me tell you the story back when I was in high school. That we were driving down the street, and there was a guy on his bicycle that was kind of in front of us. You know, some bikes think they're cars. You got to respect the bikes, for sure. But, you know, being a stupid kid, roll down the window, hey, get out of the way, you know, type thing. So we see him. He's, like, pedaling real fast. Now, we're at a red light, and he's getting closer and closer. I'm like, wow, that, you know, something could go down here. He gets to the side of the car. He's banging on the window. Spits all over the window, angry old man. I was like, oh, God, you know, just drive. Let's get away from this psychopath. Literally 2 weeks later, we're at the similar area, but, like, not exactly on the same street, probably a mile maybe away from the previous location, at a red light. The car in front of us won't move. I reach over to the girl who is driving. I honk the horn. This guy gets out of the car going ballistic. It's the same guy.
Driving a car now.
He's driving a car now. He was on a bike the first time. Driving a car now this time. Spits on the window again.
So angry bike guy later became angry car guy.
Yeah, never ran into him again.
Good thing you carry a big hockey stick in the back seat in case things get out of hand.
One more quick story, and this is true.
Real quick.
Same deal. Back in the day, we were just being dumb kids. We had literally in this car, my buddy Scott was driving. We had a bunch of cartons of eggs we had just bought.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just being silly. I remember we pulled up to, there were a couple women, probably college age, and we were kind of being dumb. We rolled the windows down. We talked to them, blah, blah, blah. And then one of them says, oh, you know, did mommy let you have the minivan tonight? Totally ripping on us, not knowing that we have like 36 eggs in the car.
Oh.
And then the second as we go straight and they go
eggs
and turn
go
left,
flying.
We just destroyed this car. It was so awesome. Well, it was so perfect.
She may have deserved it after that.
Well, we shouldn't have done it.
No, you should not have done
but
that.
But it was hilarious.
Should not have done that at all, actually.
But that was back when I was younger and I'm more mature now. Mm.
How do you feel about cigarette butts?
Cigarette butts, I don't tolerate those either. You shouldn't throw those out the window. I still think it's disgusting that you would do that. But is it as bad as the 32-ounce cup that I witnessed this morning or the fast food bag? I don't know. I would not throw the cigarette butt out the window.
Here's what I would say. I do throw my cigarette butts out the window.
You have to twist out the.
No, I do, but
I also keep the filter in the car and you throw that out wherever you go.
Here's what I do pay attention to the cars behind me. If I think they're too close, I won't throw the cigarette butt out yet. I'll wait till there's a distance between me.
We appreciate that.
And cars
thanks
behind
for being
me.
So
or
kind,
if I see like a guy on a motorcycle Gardner. Behind me, I won't throw it out. I'll hold on to it until there's a proper distance.
Interesting text here. Hipster of Tower Grove South says, it's kind of mind-blowing in this day and age for someone to throw a 32-ounce drink away when you can get discounted refills with your used cup. Also, where are you going to pee while you're driving? That's a great point.
Just gave up that urine receptacle.
You ever done that?
Peed in the car?
Yeah.
Kenny
Wallace
has told us many times that when he has to get,
now,
let's say, from a Fox.
He's a professional driver.
Well, I know,
though.
But he says, look.
I thought you were going to say professional Hoosier.
He can't just, well, you know.
No, that's fair.
Neck car. He can't just pull over and go to the bathroom. He's got no choice.
No, I'm not talking about racing. I do think the NASCAR drivers, some of them do go to the bathroom in their racing suits. But he said maybe he has a Fox duty, and then he has to drive really quick to somewhere in Illinois for a dirt
race.
Can't
say I've ever done that.
Never?
No, never peed in the car.
I have. Long time ago.
It happens. It happens. I got to say, though, Gardner, I how do we, in all seriousness, how do we do an intervention here? Because I don't think that's a good habit for you, throwing the cigarette
smoking?
Butts out.
No.
Well, the smoking,
you
got to
stop doing that.
Throwing the cigarette.
We don't care
cigarette
about
butts.
You smoking two
like,
packs a day,
like
it's throwing those smokes out the window.
Yeah, what if I just say, like, I'm going to have a couple of Snickers on the ride home, maybe. I'm just hypothetical. I can't just throw those wrappers out.
No.
Well, part of that has been fixed because I haven't done it lately.
Yeah. Good.
Jessica and I drive her car.
Yeah.
And she got a new car.
So don't smoke in the car.
There's no smoking
good.
Allowed in the car.
Good. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, I'd like to actually have you really transition to that in life. And don't smoke in the car at all, Gardner. Okay, let's not smoke in the car. When you smoke in the car, that pollutes everyone. Not just yourself, but everyone. Let's not do that. Let's not smoke in the car. Let's wait till you get to where you're going. And if you want to have a smoke then, go ahead and do
that's
that.
That's what
okay?
I had to do now.
Is this like Jerry's final thought?
No,
here?
We could do a little whatever you want. Dr. Phil, Nancy Grace, whatever you want.
Have you dropped some Nancy Grace on
I haven't done yet? That in a while. No, I haven't done
Let
that.
Let me hear this. Impersonation?
He does a Nancy Grace.
Let me hear this. I've never
done
heard
that in
this.
A while.
It's not bad.
No.
Come
on.
Not bad.
No.
Come on, a
little
bit.
A
little bit.
Maybe lecturing Gardner about smoking in general.
Abducted child.
Yeah, mix
somewhere.
That in.
Just come on, give me a little snippet.
A little snippet would be like something like, and this man, this maniac, this crazy lunatic who thinks you can go around killing people and trying to break the law, and then you want to get off for it because you're some kind of bozo. I go home and I say to my twins every day, and I say, you cannot do that. And we know, but you got people out there committing crimes, want to get off for it, and then y'all want to go do your thing. No, that's just not.
That's pretty good.
No,
I like that.
Not bad.
That's not my best one.
Not bad, but people are walking by Suite 259 at the Scott Trade Center looking in here. There is a sign that says 590 the Fan, and there's some guy in here doing little Nancy Grace, and they just gave us some looks like, what in the bleep? But I enjoyed it. Strix, while we're here.
Yeah.
Hockey thoughts from today. Jay Bollmeister is out. We got a lower
weeks.
Body. Turned out to be a fractured ankle.
Yeah, I know. You called me about that yesterday.
I wanted to know severity.
That. Yeah, yeah.
Because I thought, do I include it? Because who cares? The guy's got a lower body. But I thought, well, maybe we should just put it out
there.
Well,
you just never know. He took a shot the other day. And, you know, you see a guy leave the ice. Sometimes you think in training camp, you know, he's a veteran guy. He doesn't really feel like he needs to be out there. Don't push it if you're not in the ice the next day. But obviously, it ended up being a fracture. But the way these guys shoot, I was talking about this the other day with Darren Pang. Everybody out there can shoot. I mean, it used to be, you know, guys had different levels of ability when it came to being able to fire the puck. Now, everybody at this level can shoot the puck. I don't care if you're the last guy on the roster, fourth line guy, guy who's going back to junior, or if you're Vladimir Tarasenko. Everyone can shoot. So you feel bad for a guy like Bollmeister. He had that crazy streak where he played almost 800 consecutive games. Now he's missed some time the last couple of years with various injuries. But again, they're saying be reevaluated in 3 weeks. The season begins 2 weeks from tomorrow, so he's probably going to miss some time to begin the year.
If I'm a Vince Dunn or a Jake Walman, I think, hey, maybe I could make that opening night roster.
Yeah, and again, I think both those guys, Dunn and Wallman, probably neck and neck right now. Dunn has the advantage of having played one full season of professional hockey, even though Wallman finished the year last year in Chicago. I think Wallman is probably even a more polished product right now.
Played real well at Providence.
Well, he did. He won a national championship, single-handedly shut down Jack Eichel in the national championship game, playing for Providence with Nick Saraceno, of course, a local kid who's playing in the East Coast Hockey League. His brother Chris, too. I like Wallman a lot. You like Dunn. Dunn brings a lot of competitiveness, too, and he can be a power play guy like Wallman. Does he defend at the same level as Wallman right now? That's the big question. So I talked to Mike Yeo about both those guys this morning privately. And
candidly,
now it comes down – well, he's a very close friend of mine. Now it comes down to how they perform in the preseason. This is when you separate yourself. You can do that in practice only so much. Preseason games are what really matter the most.
Does it also come down to physically being able to compete at this level? I'm just judging on the interview, you talk with Vince Dunn. He looks a little more physically advanced than Jake Wallman.
Well,
anything to that?
And yeah, maybe.
Like Tage Thompson the same. You look at Tage Thompson, you've heard so many great things. The guy's about, what, 6'5", 6'6"? You can also tell, and he said this today, they're trying to put weight on him because he's
going to have to
still
get bigger. We said that about, Zach Sanford. You know, same thing last year after the Shattenkirk trade. He's going to miss what could be the entire season.
So
with
he's got a dislocated shoulder. They're doing surgery.
He's going to have surgery. These guys all got to get stronger, but they're so good. You know, and they're only going to get stronger. I mean, I don't think that's it. For all three guys we're talking about right now, from Tage Thompson, Vince Dunn, Jake Wallman, all three of those guys are capable of playing at that level. How good can they be? And now with Bouwmeester going down, does that mean we're going to have more opportunity or see more opportunity for a guy like Gunnarsson to slide up the roster? Or if Wallman makes a team, will they, plug him in there in the top four playing with Parayko, who had been partnered with Bouwmeester to begin training camp? But Wallman is a guy who just played the Traverse City rookie tournament, the prospect tournament, and he was probably the best defenseman there. This guy has so much potential. Look at his skating ability. He can defend as well as really anybody. I personally believe that he's going to be here and that he will have the same impact on this roster that Colton Parayko had 2 years ago.
That's pretty extreme.
Different type of players. I'm not saying they're the same exact player, but in terms of how they're going to impact the St. Louis Blues this season, I think it's going to be very similar.
He's like 21 or something, right? Third-round pick 2014, Charlie.
Isn't that amazing? Third-round pick. And, you look at Dunn as a second-round pick. You still have Jordan Schmaltz, who's a first-round pick. He could end up being here to begin the season.
Schmaltzy, I think
they
call him.
Nate Prosser's the guy who
has a lot of Barbie dolls in his car.
He's living out of his car.
Yes, he does. But he was signed as a depth guy. Could he be a guy to stick as maybe a 6 or a 7 to begin the season? Those are all things we're going to have to wait and find out. Again, when you start the preseason tonight, this is when guys start to truly separate themselves in the preseason.
Would you have said the same things about Jake Wallman before the Bouwmeester injury?
100%.
Okay.
In fact, I said prior to training camp, even prior to Traverse City, that I thought he would make the team. He's got that much ability. His skating ability, he's probably got a better shot, in my opinion, than Colton Parayko right now. Maybe not a harder shot. I mean, Parayko's shot is so heavy. But in terms of Wallman's ability to one-time the puck and to shoot the one time if the puck is behind him, in front of him, if it's in his skates, he can get it off in so many different ways. Parayko's more of a catch-and-shoot guy. They're working on that one time with him, and he's got a great wrist shot, and he can get it through, and obviously doesn't get too many shots blocked. I mean, he's a great, great player. I'm not sitting here and saying Wallman's better than Parayko, don't get me wrong. Probably doesn't have the same type of heat or heaviness on a shot that Parayko does. But in terms of how dangerous he is from the outside, I mean, this guy is legit. He's very, very good.
This is a compliment. I think of you, Strix, you're kind of like our Pierre Maguire. You're our hockey insider. You're a multimedia journalist. We see you on all platforms. And is that all right? Do you like that?
No, I like that.
You like that?
Yeah, I appreciate that.
You're our Pierre Maguire. I like that. Great to see
let's
you.
Go, let's go inside the glass. Oh, I'm not leaving. Don't worry.
Okay, we want to hang around for the grinder?
Oh, is that what we have next?
Yeah, let's do it. The lights are going off here at Skechers. Before they were cranking the steel, Doug Armstrong is sitting right where you are, Charlie. We start our interview, and they just start blasting Steely Dan.
Look how bright it is out there.
Yeah, it looks beautiful.
Do you notice it? Have you heard the sound system?
That they turned it on when Army was sitting here.
It gets really loud.
All right, somebody's getting fired.
It is going to boom in this place on October 7th for the season opener against the
We need hockey season. We need hockey season.
How about
back.
Hitch? By the way, I talked to Hitch the other day. I said, Hitch, what kind of lineup you're throwing out there for the preseason? He said, I'm going to play about 12 veterans, and I haven't seen exactly how many he's going to have in there. But he said, I go, Hitch, are you trying to win this game? I mean, is this a big deal? He's like, we got to compete with the Cowboys out here. I mean, it's Cowboy. Everything is Cowboy, Cowboy, Cowboy. I said, well, I think it's been like that for about like
yeah,
maybe
that's 50 not new.
Years. So good luck competing with the Cowboys. But I understand what he's trying to say. Ken Hitchcock will make a major, major difference with that hockey team. And the longer he was here, people kind of discredited Hitch for how great of a coach he is. All he did was win
who?
Here.
Who did? We
well,
didn't.
You just kind of you kind of heard the rumblings, whatever, that maybe
well, the players never like him
yeah,
eventually.
You know,
that's
what,
already – like in 10 games, they'll say, well, we're here
this
in the Dallas, but they're mad at the coach.
Especially in a short-term situation. I don't think he'll coach there for more than 2 years, even though he's got a six-year contract.
Does he really have a six-year deal?
Yeah, but the last 4 years –
it's like an Albert Pujols deal.
Last 4 years are as a consultant.
Okay. That's a great gig.
He will be a he'll have that team – ready to play, and they will be very, very good over the course of the next 2 years. They got great players, so it's not a big shock to say that.
How good will Ben Bishop be right out of the gate?
Well, that's a big question because we all know he's been a Vezina finalist two of the last 3 years. He's also had some shaky knees there, and as long as he stays healthy, I mean, Ben Bishop is an elite goaltender in the National Hockey League. He's a top 10 goaltender, so if he's healthy, there's no reason to assume that he won't be that guy for Dallas.
All right, let's celebrate about the Lemmings Open. And then we'll take a quick break. Gardner's Grinder is on deck. It's Andy Strickland, Martin Kilcoin, Charlie Marlowe hanging at the Scott Trade Center. They rolled out the, well, it's been here, but it's our first chance to see it. Chance to see the new Jumbotron hanging above the ice. Brand
Jumbo.
New. By the way, the ice is new, right? They redid the whole, they tore up the ground.
Well, that's a great question, Martin. I'm glad you asked that.
Thanks.
Yeah, they tore up the entire ground.
Now, this is one sheet of ice, correct?
New piping underneath the, yeah, well, this is one sheet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because Creve Coeur,
the practice facility,
Creve Coeur is going to be
four sheets.
Okay.
Was there any fauna and flora that was decimated to put this down?
Listen, buddy. Flora and fauna.
Sorry.
But a completely new.
Galapagos Islands.
That's a $2 million piece of ice right there. They put $34 million into this place. The dressing room is incredible. Did you see the gray seats over there, this new club they have over here?
I did see that.
Yeah.
That would be the south end of the building.
Yeah.
Large kind of theater.
Yeah, and, you know, that section, right, that could seat the entire hard line, by the way, that section. Right. And Cam Jansen and I went and sat in there earlier. I said, we got enough room for your entire show right
that
here.
That might be the funniest thing you've said in weeks.
No, I also like the Nancy Grace.
Well, it wasn't as good. I'll come up with a better one.
How about I do this read?
I got to watch her.
In a Nancy Grace voice.
It'll come back to me.
Introducing the second annual Lemmings Open.
Hold on. That sounds like Tim McCarver.
That's
sister.
McCarver.
I only have one voice. Introducing the second annual Lemmings Open on Thursday, October 5th at Aberdeen Golf Club in beautiful Eureka, Missouri. The tournament is presented by Bud Light and Gold Gym and is benefiting Birdies for Bipolar, a nonprofit aiming to raise awareness for mental illness and assist individuals living with those conditions. Mike Wellington, who heads that charity, does so much great work. The tournament costs $500 per foursome and includes breakfast, lunch, 18 holes of golf, cart, drinks, and trophies for the winning group. Sign up your foursome at InsideSDL.com and click on the hashtag Lemmings Open page. It's the Midday Grind. We'll be right back live from Scott Trade Center with Andy Strickland, Martin Kilcoin, Chris Gardner, Matt
locked.
Dahlberg, and Brendan Schaefer, the thespian, back at our Kirkwood studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSDL.com.